Hey, Chuck, I got a great idea for an intro tonight.
Never mind that. I'm just busting to tell you what I've been tinkering with in the basement.
Oh, boy. What's that?
Okay, don't tell anyone. But I've got a working model of a transporter. It's not quite ready for human transport yet, but I can send small objects.
Oh, yeah?
Did you check your FedEx today?
Actually, I did. I did get something. I got it right here. Let me open it.
It's going to be so cool. Watch the microphone.
What is this? Looks like a coffee pot with no filter.
Yes! That's it! Plug it in!
Okay.
I'll send you something.
What? Send me something? Uh-oh. I'm scared of that. Okay, all right. Go for it.
Okay, here goes. 3, 2, cross your fingers.
What's that sound? What's this thing doing? It's like glowing.
Yes!
Oh, cool. Holy cat here, man. I got beer here.
Cool, yes! Score! You think I can release this to the open source community or something?
Forget that. We're keeping this to ourselves.
Sweet!
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that's recorded from the same network that brings you Freestyle and Gmail podcast. This is show number 114 for June 1st, 2006. I'm your host, Chuck Tomasi, and with me is the man with one finger on his mouse and the other on the nuclear launch button. It's my co-host, Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
Hey, easy there, buddy.
Step away from the launch button.
That's not a bird out your window. That's my robot bird. I can make him attack at any moment. I
thought it looked familiar. Yeah, you might hear a cardinal or a robin or something. Our window is open.
It's like that bird in The Incredibles with the red eye.
Coming up in tonight's show, we've got more solutions and questions from our listeners. We've got flinging cameras.
At least we're not flinging our... And Bob joins us.
And Bob joins us in the studio.
Hello.
In studio guest once again, neighbor and friend Bob Pankratz. We'll be back right after. You know the words. Say it.
OTD?
Yeah, OTD. I like that. We're going to start calling it that.
Yeah.
Right back.
Something.
I got one extra mic button to hit. On this day in tech history for June 1st, 2006. This is June 1st. It's the 152nd day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are just 213 days remaining in 2006. It was on this date in 1495 that Friar John Corr records the first known batch of Scotch whiskey. How you record a batch of Scotch whiskey? I don't know. Also on this date in 1831, James Clark Ross discovers the position of the North Magnetic Pole on the Boothia Peninsula. Thomas Edison of Boston, Massachusetts receives a patent for his electric voting machine on this date in 1869. And also on this date in 1890, the United States Census Bureau begins using Herman Hollerith's tabulating machine to count census returns. The Trans-Mississippi Exposition World's Fair opens in Omaha, Nebraska, United States on this date in 1898. And 11 years later in 1909, the Alaska-Yukon-Pacific Exposition World's Fair opens in Seattle, Washington. Robert Falcon Scott's South Pole expedition leaves England on this date in 1910. And it was on this date 26 years ago that the cable news network, also known as CNN, begins broadcasting. Just 3 years ago, the People's Republic of China begins filling the reservoir behind the massive Three Gorges Dam, raising the water level near the dam over 100 meters. And it's on this date today, 616. This resembles the 616, the lesser known number of the beast. But that has nothing to do with technology, we won't speak of it again. Happy birthday goes out on this date in 1633 to the Italian astronomer Geminiano Montanari. Also born on this date in 1796, Nicolas Leonard Sadi Carnot, the French mathematician. Scottish fingerprinting pioneer Dr. Henry Faulds was born on this date in 1843. And Edward Charles Titchmarsh, the English mathematician, was born on this date in 1899. The Nobel Prize winning chemist William Knowles was born on this date in 1917. And cosmonaut Georgi Dobrovolsky was born on this date in 1928. René Auberjonois turns 66 today. He's the man who played Odo on Deep Space Nine. And finally, happy birthday to American physicist Kip Thorne, born on this date in 1940. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for June 1st, 2006.
Hi, this is T. Morris, host of the Survival Guide to Writing Fantasy, co-author of Podcasting for Dummies, and co-founder of Podiobooks.com. And you're listening to Technorama, the show where Chuck Tomasi really wishes he was Evo Terra. And now, here are your hosts, Craig and Evo. Chuck.
Apparently, Bob hasn't heard that sweeper bumper from T before.
Well, you hear T and you just sort of tune him out and he sort of fades into the background automatically. Too much Moravi. I can't really tell it's him. I've just been listening to the book and going, it's just this voice is in my head speaking to me again.
We have... message for you. We have listener email.
Hey, wait a minute. Before you go on, you know how I got the... little voicemail for the you know, there's the little voicemail clip for the voicemails.
Yeah.
You know, the little joiner.
Yeah.
I heard one on Futurama the other night. I so want to record. It says, the number you have called has just crashed into a planet. Please try again.
Oh, yeah. Where they...
We want snoo-snoo. Yeah.
I like Brandon Giddings on that ship. He goes... She's big as a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. Trying to fly into the plane. I'm sorry. Anyway,
can we get back to the email?
What's that?
Can we get back to the email?
Yes, please. I'm sorry. But excuse my tangents.
You have the play button.
Hi, Chuck and Craig. Just a quick note to tell you that I'm a regular listener and really enjoy the show. Well, thank you. I listen to so many shows that I tend to do 3 month cycles of each. So I'm about two-thirds through several hours of back-to-back Technorama. Oh, my gosh.
I'm sorry.
That could cause brain damage right there. If whatever happens to your children, we're not responsible.
He's the recipient of this month's therapy.
Therapy? Welcome to the 12-step program for Technorama addicts. Recently, you've been talking about the new Doctor Who, so I thought I'd drop you a line and offer to send you the second series. Well, that would be awful nice. I'd gladly burn you some AVIs to DVD. Well, there's some illicit things going on in this email. So there was some trepidation over here when the doctor changed from Chris Eccleston to David Tennant. But Dave is doing a sterling job. I'd have to go so far as to say he's even better than Chris. Wow, that's amazing, because really? I haven't seen any of the new ones yet. In fact,
he's way better.
I liked the character that
flew over there last week.
Eccleston infused,
really good.
You flew over there.
Yeah, I flew over. You know,
yeah.
You know, I came close to downloading because I wanted to see just to see a little bit of how he was doing, but I decided against it. Thought I would wait, and so maybe I can just wait till something comes in the mail.
He concludes his email with, "Anyway, if you have a P.O. box or something, I'd like to send you some cool stuff. Give me a shout. Have fun in 101, guys. Cheers, Math. P.S.
I'm giving him a shout.
P.S. This is in no way a plug, but just so you know, the Snug is over 2 years old. It's a two-year-old live 365 station that we just started podcasting. We stream live every Thursday night, probably early afternoon for you guys, for 2 hours.
Wow.
I know you're currently bemoaning your lack of time, but if both or either of you would like to come on the show, we'd be honored to have you. Wow. I have the URL in my email, and I forgot to copy and paste it
in here. I'm not bemoaning for my lack of time. I just kind of go with it, and if somebody gets disappointed because I didn't do something, that's just less they expect of me.
The next one's right up your alley. This is from David G., our faithful Milwaukee listener, regarding the Commodore 64. My parents are selling their house and have been cleaning the attic out. Well, what do you think they found? This past weekend, they brought over...
What do you expect me to keep my stuff now?
You guys didn't find a box with some magazines in it that I shouldn't have had when I was 14, did you? They brought over some old stuff of mine, including no box of magazines, but Commodore 64. It still had the cassette tape drive as well. Wonder if the floppy drive is still up in the attic. Well, apparently he had one of those too. I was so geeked up about seeing it, but my wife just doesn't get why.
I think we can relate to that.
Haven't had time to hook it up yet. Maybe this weekend. Are there any sites you guys know of that you can jog my memory on programming this old relic?
Hey, you know, I did find one today because a friend of mine had images. He had got his emulator running. Actually, he had hooked up a 5 1/4 drive and was reading some of his old discs. Now, these discs are like 19 years old. Easy.
Mm-hmm.
Ones that we had some games that we were shared, there were backup copies, and we were making copies. And anyway, he made disc images, and he sent me a couple of them, and I went and downloaded, I can't remember the name of it. There was a couple of them I downloaded, and I downloaded a couple of emulators and was able to run the images. It was really cool. And I found a site that had I think I replied to him and told him that Wikipedia has a pretty good site on the Commodore 64, but it has a whole bunch of links at the bottom for emulators, documentation, and whatnot. And I also found a site with a complete programmer's guide, which is a little thick book about, I forget how many pages, but it wasn't really, the format was kind of small, but it was a thick book, had like a spiral binding on it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I saw a download for that. So I'll see if I can stick that in the show notes. For him to go check that out.
That'd be cool. I wasn't a Commodore guy, as you well know, but I can certainly geek out if somebody found something like that.
Well, the interesting.
Hey, well, you know, I was amazed. I'm not kidding. I was amazed that my old friend was able to read those discs. You know, after sitting around for that long.
Not that surprised. I've got a shoebox right behind me of old Apple II discs, and I'm certain that probably 80% of them would still work. I don't have the Apple II in front of me.
I'll say the problem is finding the 5 1/4 drive to read it now.
I can do that. The trickiest part is because the Apple used such a strange format, you can't really take an image and put it on your palm or anything. It's kind of weird.
Well, he did say that those discs, we used to cut the notch out and use them because there's a single-sided disc on the Commodore.
Yeah.
And you can flip them over and the other side has a whole other disc, which everybody did that. But he said that the front sides were pretty reliable. The back sides, a couple of them were getting a little flaky because, you know, they weren't certified on the back side. They were like, you could do it, but, you know, the front side's certified, the back's not.
Spend unless the extra you bought money them and get specifically the double-sided disc. Right. That's what I was going to say.
I think you got to back up and focus on the key comment here, though, that the wife does not understand. I think the wife probably understands completely. She's already she's already competing for time for the square-headed girlfriend laptop that he's dealing with, and now he brought home...
square-headed girlfriend.
Yeah, sitting on his lap.
Ooh, and it's warm.
And now he brought home the old girlfriend. So of course she's just going to diss it like it doesn't exist.
It's my first love.
That's funny.
Should we get on with the voicemail?
Yes.
You have 937 messages, all of which are marked urgent.
The number you have called has just crashed into a plane.
Hey, Chuck and Craig. This is Joel McLaughlin from the Life in Ohio podcast. I'm calling on my pocket PC. I think I called once before. But I'd like to hear maybe both your guys. I really haven't heard you talk about it yet, but I'd like to hear something about net neutrality. See what you guys' opinions are on it. I am for it. I think the internet needs to be a neutral playground. Give everybody a chance. Anyway, 101.
Net neutrality. By that, I presume he means that everybody gets the same bandwidth. You're not.
Yeah.
Is some paying for faster connections and more dedicated? Like, you know, Microsoft's got all kinds of money, and they want to make sure that everybody gets to their site and can get all the files all the time really fast and pays a little more for that, and whoever can't pay gets slow, crappy connections.
The AT&T and some of those other companies, let me put it this way. I don't know. There's got to be something else to this story, because to me it seems very obvious. Hell yeah, I want net neutrality.
Yeah.
But there's got to be something else back there. However, companies like AT&T, we've been told they want to charge sites like Google, who have already paid for their bandwidth. They want to charge them more and shift bandwidth, and we're paying for it too. So it's like they're wanting to get paid like three times for the bandwidth going either way. So there's got to be something else to the story, because either it's deadly obvious, yeah, I want net neutrality, or I'm missing something to make me think, yeah, I want net neutrality and
it
be
does,
that obvious.
Yeah, you know, now that you mention it, it does seem kind of lopsided or one-sided.
Mm-hmm. Right, but then again, it could be as simple as the phone companies want more money. Duh, has that happened before?
Well, why do you think they pay the same in Japan for a gigabit of bandwidth that we pay in the U.S. for 1 meg? It's whatever the market will bear.
I'm over I
understand the market bear and competing and stuff like that, but I'm just saying that I don't think the market's gonna bear that, at least the way it's been presented to me.
The only reason we're suffering on slow links though is because we pay it. If we all stop paying it and refuse to pay that price for that little bit, the bandwidth would go up real quick.
The other part of the reason why we're suffering on slow links is because nobody can standardize on anything over here.
It's like, hey, let's all stop buying gas for one day. The price will plummet.
I didn't say we wouldn't go into withdrawal.
Hey, wait a minute. Yeah, withdrawal. Wait a minute. That's a whole other aspect of this.
Withdrawal. So
I'm
going to
do some more research, because there's got to be something. It can't be that simple.
All right, well, you do that while we're listening to this other voicemail, which is kind of weird because the person who left it is sitting right here.
Incoming call from Bob Pankratz.
I took the initiative in creating the internet.
Houston, we've had a problem.
Hey, Craig and Chuck, this is Bob from Appleton. You guys mentioned a new technical device, or at least Craig did this week on the lead-free episode, and I haven't seen one of these. I want to know where I can get one. Craig was referring to something called a library. A library, is this like the new version of the BlackBerry, but with some extra features? Maybe it comes up with convenient lies when caught doing things not supposed to be doing at work, like listening to podcasts and other things. Anyways, here, I'd like to know where to get one, so if someone could tell me where I can find a library, please call me, or tell me, or talk about it on the show or something, because we're confused, and Craig, that sounds like a really cool device, so we want to know about it. Bye. Chuck, now you need to go back and listen to your own episodes, because I clearly remember that when you guys were discussing Towel Day, as Steve Pruitt said, towels and nothing else, and sorry, but that's a visual I just didn't need on the street. I almost went into this, and it's taken me several days to recover, so don't do that again.
No, what I said was the show is all about Douglas Adams, and Steve said, and towels, and I said, and nothing else. That's kind of how it went. I don't have the exact audio clip. I should go find it as proof.
I'm going to have to go back and listen
to that.
That
was the intent anyway.
You want a library? Go talk to Verizon or Sprint.
Does it, does it come with a belt clip?
cool keyboards.
I can see a spoof, a parody commercial coming up on Technorama.
You too can have a library.
How much is it? It's, you give the device away, it's just the subscription that'll kill you.
So is the public library the one you have to pass around to your friends?
Chuck, I can't work like this in home.
No, public library is the one that has open access.
Oh. Oh, the open source version. Like, I get it.
Wi-Fi. Public Wi-Fi.
He's hacking.
During the school day, I would spend like 8 hours still on that once I got home.
So that's what happened.
That stunted my growth.
Run it by me again. I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah, I mean, nothing really could shine a light at that.
That sounds more like an antiperspirant to me. What's it about? What text editors do you use?
Wait a minute.
Is that enough time to take a drink of water? If so, post facto?
It's my birthday, so I might as well give something away to balance out the presents I will get.
He had a voice upgrade.
That was before the upgrade.
Have you used that?
I have not, no.
This is how the professionals do it, folks.
Whatever, this is Eric from The Eric Rice Show, and you're listening to Technorama.
Want to give a quick shout out to the chat room. We've got me and John and Craig and the Technorama bot and Bumble Root and East Bay Ant and KL and Kevin Devon and Mark Shepard and Missing Intellect, Stingray, Tim Elliott, and rounding out the top 20 once again,
Zahadoom.
I'm going to clip that little piece that Steve Pruitt did. I like the way he did that one. I'm going to have to find that just so we can have a sound bite.
Zahadoom. Zahadoom.
Nobody on the birthday calendar tonight, but if you want to get on the listener birthday calendar, there are people still contributing. It's on the wiki on the Fun and Games page. If you go to chuckchat.com/wiki, you can find the Fun and Games link, add your name to the listener birthday calendar. We will be happy to call it out when the time is appropriate, which is next year.
Next year.
We do have one thing in the media corner. Oh, well, if we're in the media corner, then we need to talk to, what's his name? Skip? We never gave this guy a name, did we?
Hey, what's up?
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
In the media corner, we have one thing, and one thing only tonight. It's called the camera toss. This just sounded all wrong from the moment I saw it.
Okay, I'm going to take my Nikon and start throwing it around.
Well, apparently what these people have been doing is they take a camera, and I don't know, do they set the timer, or they just release the shutter and throw the thing?
Well, like my Nikon, I can set it for, shutter open time. Like, I've done it as far as a minute doing fireworks and stuff.
I've taken pictures of fireworks and done flashlight art and things, but I suppose they do a long exposure. These are rather interesting works of art. You take the camera and you open up the shutter and you throw the camera or flip it in the air, preferably at night when there are lights around, a carnival or a bridge or something.
So you can't see it and catch it?
And in some cases, the person taking the picture is actually in the picture. And we'll provide a link in the show notes, but it's at cameratoss.blogspot.com if you feel like typing right now. Lots of interesting pictures, creative light patterns, and some of them are somewhat.
Some of them are cool.
60s now, drug inspired.
Cool.
No, they look
actually
neat.
That one would make a killer wallpaper. But I'm just saying, I don't know. There's something about throwing a camera around. I think they were using some. I saw one guy take a pinhole camera that you can make pinhole cameras out of nothing, and he was throwing that around. That okay, I could throw that, but I don't know about.
What are they saying? One of these was like one of those ruggedized ones, and some were kind of cool. The camera that has the four lenses in it and will take four separate pictures, kind of like a panelized picture on one frame. That was kind of neat. I might try this with my smaller Nikon. I've got a 2200.
And if you go to Flickr.com and search and look at the tags for camera toss, all one word, you'll find a ton of them there.
This must have been what inspired my dream last night that I lost or broke my camera. It's funny how you see these things after you think about them and they sort of come back I also dreamt that I just up and joined the Marines, but I'm not sure where that came from. Maybe it was from that picture that you sent.
Yeah, my dad went to the Vietnam Memorial Memorial Day. He rides up there with some of his friends, and every year, they ride their bikes up, and he took this picture, and I'll put it in the show notes, but it's a picture of a Marine standing out in the middle of the road where all the bikes are coming down, and he's got the little, statue, but it's more like a little monument. It's got the boots with the rifle, mm-hmm. with the helmet sitting on top, and he's just sitting there at saluting at attention, full dress in that heat, standing there at attention,
standing in the middle of the road,
staring straight ahead.
How long was he there?
It's impressive to watch.
How long do you think he was there?
I don't know. Dad was telling me about it. I don't remember him telling me how long he was there, but he said people were putting cups of water and stuff at his feet because he'd been there so long. That was that like some kind of wool, the blues that they wear?
Yeah, that big heavy black coat thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, that's got to be hot. Anyway, he stood there and saluted everybody that rode by. I thought that was pretty amazing.
Oh, hey, just looking at the chat room, looks like somebody discovered that you can do exclamation point weather and then enter in your city or zip code, and it will go get the weather stats for you. So, chat room, the Technorama bot now tells you the weather. In Canyon Country, California, the conditions are clear. Temperature 88 degrees Fahrenheit or 31.1 C. The high is 91, low is 59. Humidity is 21% with a dew point of 43%.
And now to you, Bob, with traffic.
Traffic is light on the I-5 moving south. Wait, we did that one.
Yeah.
This is Dr. Pamela Gay from Slacker Astronomy, and you're listening to Chuck Tomasi on Chuck Chat.
Not many people know what it's like in the trenches. Just the few, the brave, the system administrators and IT professionals. Now, there's a podcast just for you and the battles you face every day.
Come on, boys, keep that network up.
Sarge, we need better technology now.
Incoming user complaints.
Strengthen that security on the double.
We're crashing. Game over, man.
Listen to In the Trenches with Kevin Devon and George Starcher at kevindevon.com. War is hell. Learn the best ways to survive.
You order the low-fat triple mocha latte.
In the Trenches.
Straight to the Geek Library, Craig.
Straight to the Geek Library. I got several things right here before we get to all about Mad Marv. I got the USS Harry Truman in Legos.
The what in what?
This is the same site. We've linked to this site before, Brickshelf, but they have galleries of people's projects and Legos. This is the USS Harry Truman.
Oh my gosh, it actually floats.
I don't know if it's just sitting there on the edge of the water, but yes, it's in the water. It's huge. That thing's big, and it's got the level of detail is just amazing on this.
Probably what, about 14, 16 feet long?
Easy.
Easy. Well, yeah. The guy standing next to it probably waist deep in water. Wow. That's pretty cool.
It is cool. And like I said, he's got the planes. He's got everything. The back, you can see through the carrier, like when they have planes and stuff up under the deck.
Mm-hmm.
It's impressive. So just want to say, where does that guy get his time? He must not be married.
Or have a podcast.
Yeah, or job. Anyway. Let's see, what else we got here? Oh, this was interesting, I thought. This is Honda's worldwide Osmo site.
The walking robot.
The what?
The walking robot guy.
Oh, I didn't hear the what you said that, and I was like, what did you just say?
Walking.
Okay, yes, the walking robot. And they've been celebrating 20 years of Osmo.
Bender would be the other one.
Yeah. Hey, Dad, look at this. Anyway, I don't think they trained him to bend anything. But anyway, the Osmo, they've been working on this robot for 20 years, they say, and I saw a site where they were talking about the different progressions of it. Here, this is a bunch of videos of the Osmo doing stuff, like walking around, greeting people. And, I thought this was so cool because I've never really seen it do much but just walk on stage in, like, one of their demonstrations.
Right.
So this shows it pointing to people. Actually, there's one video. The reason I really thought this was interesting is they show a point of view of what the Asimov sees, like how it, you know, it's outlining somebody trying to identify people or identify two different people or objects or somebody's. The woman was waving at it, and you could see it tracking the hand. It's pretty cool.
As long as the display at no point says, you know, kill all the humans, we're okay.
Kill all the humans. Attack, attack. Targeting.
I am Bender. Insert girder.
Hey, I'm Bender. Give me a beer. Anyway, that's more like Homer, isn't it? Yay. Anyway, this next one, it's not really a site anything, but over at Flickr's site, it's 37 Signals Flickr's account, Flickr account. They have little screenshots of Windows Vista. If you're trying to delete a shortcut, let me run down them real quick.
Step one,
we have a shortcut on the desktop we want to remove. Step two, we right-click on it and select delete. We are asked to confirm it. Of course, there's a little window doing that. Step three, for some reason, the recycling bin won't take the shortcut. We are asked again to confirm deleting. It says cannot be removed to the recycling bin. Do you want to permanently delete it? Yes. Step four, Windows installed the shortcut as being owned by the system. That means we need to confirm the deleting again. Step five, Windows needs permission to delete the shortcut. Yep, we need to confirm the deletion once again. Step six, Windows moves the shortcut to the recycling bin. For some reason, it changed its mind since step three. Step seven.
It couldn't delete it before, but now it can. Or can't move it to recycling bin.
Step seven, we want to get rid of the shortcut. Unfortunately, emptying recycling bin means we have to confirm deleting it for the fifth time.
God. Lord.
I hope they fix that before the.
Couldn't you just do shift delete and skip the recycle bin altogether?
Go to the command line?
No, everybody knows about shift delete. I've used it, but people are like, what are you doing?
Gotta teach everybody shift delete, especially in email. If it's junk. Yeah,
well, that can be dangerous because you get people that go, hey, I just deleted it. I want to get it back.
Well, they give Southerners shotguns.
What are you saying?
Yeah, the precedent for your point.
The precedent for giving the lesser folks dangerous items has already been broken.
Hey, I can shoot somebody, but I still want to undelete my email. Wait a minute, I want to unshoot somebody too. No, anyway,
more picks. Moving right along. Yeah. Before we start the Civil War again.
Now this is a sinking of the Oriskany on May 17th. They sank the Oriskany into, it was right off of Pensacola, Florida. I think it was, what did it say, 17 miles? 24 miles 24. Off the coast of Pensacola, Florida. Yeah. And it took 37 minutes to sink it. They set charges in there, just like any demolition thing, and boom, sunk it. And it's supposed to be like one of the largest man-made reefs ever displayed. Now, if you look on the bow of the aircraft carrier as it's going down, there's a boat sitting there. And I kept looking through these pictures going, why is there a boat? Why would they put a boat, a little dinghy-looking boat, right on top of it? And you know what that's for?
For the people to get off at the end?
Bueller, anybody?
A buoy, so when it sinks, they know where it is?
No, it was for the small boat on deck of the carrier contains the generator and electronics to set off the explosions. It was designed so the small boat would float free after the carrier sank. So it has, like, the electronics to charge it. I was like, what is that there? And after I read that, I was like, it's so obvious. Anyway, I thought it was pretty cool.
Do you need them back, I guess?
What's that?
The detonator, do you need it back?
Yeah, it's electronics and stuff. They can reuse that.
I suppose.
Actually, there's one picture from the back of the boat. You see that little boat? And I kept thinking, is that OJ's Ford Bronco?
No, that wasn't OJ. That was, who was the driver?
Al Collins.
Al
Collins or whatever. Whatever.
Sharpton? No, not Al Sharpton.
Al Sharpton. No, but if you look at one of the pictures, it shows like the very back of that little boat, and it looks like a Bronco sitting there. And then another picture, you can see it from the side, and there's the point of the boat. It's kind of funny. But the pictures, they got some good pictures on here.
And finally, news about one of your favorite games.
Yeah, Quake 2. Oh, man, I wasted so much time on Quake 2. Yeah, Quake 2 is open source. ID Software has open sourced some of their older games and over time. And Quake 2 is open source, and there was a mod for paintball for Quake 2 at one point. Now, since it's open source, it's actually the Paintball 2.0 is a whole standalone game, which you can download. It's like 37 megs. The whole works. It's kind of cool. I haven't downloaded it yet to play it, but you can see it. It's got the guy's got a little rifle with a paintball reservoir at the top.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's kind of neat.
What some just people do with their extra time.
Well, it just goes to show, you know, some of these old games, you don't have to just throw them away because they're old, you know.
And we have many more links in the Geek Library from our wonderful Marv. Did you change the title on this, or did I put that there? All About Marv?
I didn't put it.
I must have put that. I don't remember putting that.
Yeah, you must have done it, Chuck.
In the section labeled All About Marv, we've got a Doggy Bag, Marriage and Great Science Don't Mix, Office in a Bucket, Baby with Three Arms, just loads of Technorama stuff. We could make a whole nother show just out of Marv's wonderful links, and I don't want them to go to waste, so stop on over at the show notes. You know what we could do? Is probably start putting some posts in the news feed.
Mad Marv could have his own podcast and display his own links.
It's a lot of work. Some people just prefer to be contributors. One quick note before we go. The latest issue of Podcast User Magazine is out. The June issue is out as of a couple hours before we recorded this. I got a note from Jimmy Hastel. And, hey, I mentioned in it again for the podcast expo session that I'm doing based on the article that I wrote in the April issue of Podcast User Magazine. So that's kind of cool. Got props for that.
Cool.
You want to do the intro, the outro, the ending? Maybe wait. Bob has to think of a voice. Craig has to do this.
No.
He's going to do it in a voice of your choosing. You know, kind of like at the end of Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Oh, boy.
Craig has to pick a character. It could be an old Italian woman.
I have to pick one?
No, Bob is going to pick one for you, Craig.
In your best Chuck Tomasi.
Okie dokie.
Wow.
How does Chuck sound? I don't know.
That was like listening to a mirror.
You listen to him every week. Oh, wait, you don't listen, do you?
Yeah, he does. Listen to the drive-in.
Actually, here you go.
He's got a clip. You should have sent that to me again.
Email Chuck Tomasi at chuck@chuckchat.com. Please send audio comments to chuckchat.
You were saying the mics were down. Thank you, Johnny. You got to send me that clip so we don't hear it over Skype. It works much better.
I just want to know, did he have a martini in his hand when he was recording that? Just...
That was not quite a Chuck voice, but thanks for listening. Take care. Till next time. Bob, you want to do the honors?
Let's see if I can find it.
He's got...
That was awesome. SOS, he wants to get out of here.
I am invincible! Invincible! You're out!